Up next, we're talking money with the man responsible for fee-only financial planning in Ohio, founder of the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, and expert advisor to the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. It's the only financial planning show on radio, Managing to be Wealthy, with your host, John Sestina.
Good evening. Welcome to Managing to be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Tony Payne, Certified Financial Planner. And tonight we're going to take, I think, a little unusual tack, Tony. We're going to kind of go through the cycles of life and financial planning and what it means and, you know, try to help people overcome some of the fears they have, because there was a study done a couple of years ago by one of the major insurance companies, and they found out that Americans are in a constant state of worry about their finances and financial being. That's Northwestern Mutual did that in 2016. So what they found out was only two-thirds of the people surveyed admitted to their survey that the finances were negatively affecting them. 70% said it adversely affected their home life.
70%?
70% of the people, okay? And over half, 51%, said their financial anxiety negatively impacted their social life. So maybe their computer use was down. That would be a good thing, but their...
Yeah, I guess that is a social life
nowadays.
Yeah,
that would be these days. It sure is. And worse, 36% of Americans report increasing levels of financial anxiety over the past 3 years compared to just 14% the last survey they did on that, Tony. So there's a great deal of need for the financial planning process, relieving people of the pressure of what they're trying to do with their money and worrying about their money. So just for fun, I thought I might list the things they had in their article about what was causing the anxiety. And you're going to love this first one, Tony. The first one was having an unplanned emergency. That's, you know, like having an emergency fund,
right,
Tony.
Right,
you're always
exactly.
talking about that. So 38% of Americans said that that was their number one concern. And then having unplanned medical expenses due to an illness, 34% of the people worried about that one. And that's a very common one. I know when people are young, they think they're, you know, immortal, et cetera. But that's a biggie, especially as you grow older. Having sufficient savings to retire, 32% of the people worried. Okay, so that's number three in the worry list. Is that sad or what? Or outliving my retirement savings. 21% of the people thought about that. And becoming a financial burden. That's one we bring up a lot when people are sacrificing their loves, their love, everything they have for their loved ones and their retirement. And then they end up being retired and being dependent on their children or whomever else they can be dependent upon. So we don't want that to happen, that's for sure. So not being a burden. And then the next one, the inability to afford health care. 18% of the people worried about that.
Okay, combine that with the other one that mentioned health care.
Pretty nasty, you got it. Losing your job, only 17% of the people worried about that.
Wow.
Of course, the economy is much better now. So, I mean, these numbers, this last report have been off the charts.
Right, it's the lowest unemployment since 2000, I think. And
right.
When you really analyze the numbers or get deeper down, too, it's actually wages starting to go up, it seems like, and that's
Thank
what we've
God,
always
finally
talked
jobs.
About.
Yeah, jobs and pay are starting to go up. The best statistic I heard this weekend was, or last weekend, was the fact that there are now more jobs available than people who are unemployed.
Right.
I mean, that's incredible. When has that ever happened? So that should mean that wages should be going up here pretty quickly. So let's watch out for that one. So unemployment, that should be less of a problem. And then the loss of the primary breadwinner. We would call that estate planning, Tony.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
worry
the loss.
About the primary breadwinner going away. Or being having poor credit.
Okay.
Only 12% of the people worried about that, Tony.
Yeah, that's interesting. You would think it's either losing your job, having bad credit. Those other ones, to be worried about them and to say that you're stressed about them or that they impacted your social or home life, that's pretty big. That's not just saying it's a passing thought.
That's exactly right. And 6% thought they were fearful they were going to have to claim bankruptcy. Pretty scary thing. And becoming a victim of a financial scam.
Okay.
That was another one. So there's tons of these things that people out there are numbered. So The number of it is getting worse from times ago, so we have to worry about that. So what do you do? Well, obviously, Tony, your favorite thing is they do what?
Nothing, unfortunately.
They do start an emergency fund.
That's
Tony,
what they should
come
do.
Come on, Tony.
That's what they should
Don't
do.
Go there
you
now.
Said what should
this
what
is your
do
favorite
they do?
Topic, so make that happen. They have to have that just in case. And then, of course, in general, so we're trying to get together the mind of the person to manage to be wealthy.
Right.
So if these are the concerns of the persons, let's deal with how do you overcome those concerns or how do you make yourself a little more comfortable in those concerns. And so we want to talk a little bit about probably various age groups and what various tools to use and so on and so forth. So obviously the first thing anyone should do is examine what tools they have available.
Right. So early in life, when we think about that phase and tools like you were just mentioning, John, what tools do you think of or what comes to mind there?
Well, of course, the very first one that most people have available now is the 401k plan.
Okay.
That would be probably the most effective tool available. If you have it, you need to use it. Don't be a dummy and let money on the table. I mean, we hear people all the time who say, well, I put in X number of dollars, I'm not fully funding it. Or some worse are not even full funding it to the extent that their employers are willing to match. So they're leaving that several percentage on the table that they could have had in return for their retirement. So the 401k and the maximum they can put in, what's that number for 18, Tony? Do you remember it?
Well, it depends on your age, but
right.
It may be that 18.5 or 23.5, and
yep.
That's going to adjust here. I believe those are the numbers offhand.
Right.
That will continue to adjust, though. And the idea is, I think you're saying it, though, is force yourself to save early, because those mistakes people can make early on, they might be small, but they're magnified because of time. So we called you here tonight, and of course called you here. Yeah, right. You drug us here. No, you've got us here tonight for the purpose of what are the mistakes people make and how do we help them avoid them? And really, we let off with what are some of the best tools available to them?
Right.
So mistakes. Are there any mistakes you could make with
a 401k? There are no mistakes that anyone can make at all.
Oh, you didn't let me finish.
One of my lucky breaks, I'm going to say, is when I graduated college, somebody gave me a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. And in that book, one of the things he talked about was pay yourself first. And that's pretty common today, but most people think of that because the book said you should pay of your income, 10% of that income, the gross income. So if you're making $1,000 a month, that's $100 a month should go to savings. You pay you first. Because what tends to happen, especially when you're young, I remember my first job getting out of college. I was so excited. And Tony, I was going to make a fortune after all that schooling. Here I'm going to be a teacher and a coach and direct the plays and run the newspaper and teach English. And they were going to pay me $400 a month.
Oh my.
I was so excited. My rent was $80 a month. I was rich.
Right.
Okay. But because I read that book, I started saving 10% of my $400 every month. And it made a big difference. So no matter how old you are, you need to begin, especially when you're young. So when you're young, you have the greatest opportunity to get ahead than you'll ever know. And, you know, 20 years from now, you'll be thinking of this, hopefully this little broadcast, and you'll recognize, doggone it, that guy was right. And unfortunately, I am right on this one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Obviously, if you can put that 10% in your 401k, that's better. If you don't have a 401k, what's the next opportunity?
An IRA?
An IRA plan, absolutely. And if you don't have much of a 401k, then you're able to put money into the IRA, and it may even be deductible. So be aware of that. Take advantage of those two tax planning tools. And when we come back, we'll probably deal with a few more. So this is John Sestina. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to the only financial planning show on radio. Taking your questions tonight is WTBN's own resident money expert, certified financial planner, author of Planning a Successful Future, and founder of one of America's leading financial planning firms, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Tony Payne, certified financial planner. Well, Tony, how are we doing on the progress of managing to be wealthy for our listeners?
So far, so good. We need to have an emergency reserve for those road bumps that come along the way, no matter what they are, and there's many types. And then we know that we need to start saving early and pay ourselves first. So,
right.
So far, so good. We're
so
on the right
track. So far, so good. And everyone's going to ask, well, how do I, they want to talk about investing. So let's get that out of the way. How do I invest that money in my 401k? Well, if you're a millennial, if you're a young guy, where do you put the money, Tony?
Probably in something more aggressive.
Yep, something in the stock market. The stock market's average about 7% per year return. Yes, it has its ups and its downs, but you still want to take advantage because think about it. I don't know why this is not, it seems like a complex subject. It's not. When you invest in the stock market, what are you really doing?
Buying stock in companies in America.
You're buying the ownership in a company. So every now and then we have people coming to us with deals, you know, these great deals. And here's something I found and my buddy, he's really smart and he wants to get me into this thing. And it's not real estate, so it's a business. And we're going to do this. And so you can put your $1,000 in here and you'll make a killing. That's what you're doing when you buy into the stock market. The difference is you have a marketplace that helps balance the risk. Because if you buy into your buddy's deal, it's 100% at risk. It depended on your buddy. If he's good, if his idea is good, if it's not, if the market, what happens there is a lot of flexibility, a lot of volatility. If you buy in the stock market, there's still volatility, but it's a little bit constrained because you have the stock market, the marketplace that allows you to unload that stock if you want to, whereas you can't unload your buddy's stock if you want to. So be aware that when you're investing your money, generally speaking, most people should be involved in the stock market, and they tend to run away. The market's so volatile. You ever watch the TV commercials, Tony?
Oh, I hate them.
You know, you got to put all your money in an IRA, and where's that, Tony? Into what kind of asset?
Gold or silver?
Gold or silver, yay! And what has been the appreciation of gold since 1970?
Just less than inflation?
Less than inflation, much less than inflation. When I'm old enough to remember those days. And when gold was running around about $32, $35 an ounce for centuries, and then all of a sudden the president came on board and he says, we're letting gold go. It can be a free market. And very quickly it went up to $800 an ounce. Think about that. Now that's 1970, $800 an ounce. And what's the price of gold today?
Floating around just, I think, 12, 13, depending
12,
13, on the day.
Depending on the day and so on and so forth. And so if you bought it 800 in 1970, however many years ago that is, since I can't calculate without a calculator, but it was a bunch of years, and you say you put in $800 then, it's worth $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 today, what kind of return did you get?
Not quite double.
Just terrible.
Right.
It's the same argument you make about houses. You see, gold and silver are basically assets. They're not really investments. Investments produce profit. They produce income along the way. An asset is something you buy hoping that the greater fool theory will apply.
What is the greater fool
theory? The
greater
fool theory is there's some dummy down the road who's going to pay more for it than I did.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I just looked at a deal today that somebody had, and they want to put together this real estate company, and what they want to do is flip commercial buildings. And so we're looking at what they're going to do, and the documentation says we're going to paint it up a little bit. We're going to do this cosmetically, that, and then we're going to sell it. And so they have on their prospectus, this is what we paid for it. Now, this is what we think it's worth. Now, where did that new number come from, Tony? From the mind of the speculator.
Right, exactly. Right? From their own department that calculates.
So
that.
If they can trick somebody, oh, I don't mean trick, but if they can convince somebody to buy that place for that adjusted price, then guess what? The greater fool theory is in place. I think of the silver on TV commercials. I love the one that says, if you buy silver now and it only goes back to where it was.
Right, 1999. Yeah. When you look at it, yeah, you're right. They pick a marvelous year.
But they say if it goes back, so it's way down, obviously. Right? If it goes back to where it was, then you're going to make it successful. So when you're investing your money, you want to be sure to invest. And investments generally produce some sort of cash flow, dividends, earnings, rental income, something of that nature so that you can prosper. So generally for your 401k and this sort of stuff, you don't have the option to buy all those things. So guess what? The best place is probably the stock market. So the young people, for sure, if they have 55 years to go, as did I, then they can let that thing grow. I should look up what the market was back when I was just a young buck, Tony.
Oh, we'll pull that number up, John.
It was, I think the Dow Jones was, like 80?
There were three stocks then in the Dow 30. Wait a minute. Sorry,
but
John.
It didn't go up. There was a bunch of stuff. So set up your 401k, set up your IRA. Oh, and by the way, if you have a spouse, what else can you do with the IRAs?
You can set up spousal IRAs for them as well and really double dip, whether they're working out in the workforce or working at home. That's available to both people who are married.
Exactly right. So watch out for that one, because a lot of people don't say, they say, well, my spouse is not working. You mean I can still put into an IRA? Absolutely. So take advantage of that. Make sure you are putting away what the amount of money you need to put away so you can get to where you want to go. Recognize that in your plan, because we are talking about planning, planning is not about, you know, no, you can't do this, you can't do that all the time. Once you get yourself organized and in place and on a stable path, let's say that your goals for retirement and education and everything else that you have end up being $5,000 a month, let's say. Well, when you're making, you know, $30,000 a year, that's not very much. It's really a struggle. But as your income progresses through the years and now you're making $50,000 a year, it's still only $5,000. So that's a real benefit. Recognize that if you do a proper plan, your plan, cash flow-wise, should get easier and easier and easier the older you get, because you funded early on. If you wait, then it might be up to $10,000 a month.
Right. It's the complete opposite. Then you've got to backload it and sacrifice a lot in those later years.
Exactly right. So it's very, very important that you get your affairs in order, know what's available, set your goals, establish that. Financial planning, as we've talked about a lot of times on this show, is not just going to a computer program, punching in some numbers and, oh, I'm going to retire at 65. I need to save $1,300 a month. That's not financial planning. As we well know with our clients, there's so much going on. There's so much interactivity. And in fact, one of the things this insurance company discovered when they talked to people was that what was important to take away the anxiety was a regular review of the person's financial affairs. Now, in their study, they said at least every 6 months. How often do we do it, Tony?
At least quarterly with our clients. Typically, we're talking to them at least monthly. So
yeah, we're
regularly.
Doing we're sending
quite
them
regularly.
Emails and texts and whatever else there is to do. So a regular reevaluation of where you are. Times change. Things change. Your life changes. Jobs change. Health change. Income goes up. Income goes down. All kinds of things are important. Insurances. I remember that buying term insurance for me was cheaper as I got older than it was when I started the whole program. So everything changes. So be aware of that. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion on how you can be managing to be wealthy. In the meantime, you're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN. Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. With me tonight, Tony Payne on Managing to Be Wealthy. Tony, we're kind of walking through the lifespan of managing to be wealthy, how people can build their plans, some of the things they should consider, hopefully take action on so that they can make their goals, because we're anxious to see that people will succeed. By the way, if you have a question and you don't want to call or whatever, feel free to email us and we'll deal with one of your questions on the show. Or you could always call the office on Bethel Road and call 614-30. What's the number there?
614-326-3077. The email address would be info@managingtobewealthy. Send over your questions, comments. If you want a complimentary meeting to fill out a questionnaire, sit down with a planner, review your plan, go ahead and do that. That's part of our education here is making people aware of the different tools available, the different steps of how you get to managing to be wealthy like you're talking about tonight.
Right. You know, many of the articles, when they talk about what should you look for in a financial planner, one of the things they said, the articles are saying is, does the planner educate you? And that's a key, because if you go to a planner that's just here, do this, buy that, you know, sell this, then that may not help you understand. I find that the more the client knows, the better the client is. because they ask better questions, which is surely more fun. You know, it's answering the IRA question is a little old after 50 years, Tony. So, well, it hasn't been around that long, but, you know, as long as it's been around.
Right.
But moving along then, so if you're young and now you're moving into your other years, there's something else that you need to think about, and that's your health insurance, because that was one of the big concerns for the people. But let's talk about it from a planning point of view, especially under the new tax law. What you can do as an individual is take advantage of a health savings account. Now, how would that apply towards building a financial plan, Tony?
In a couple different ways. You can help yourself by saving on taxes because it is a tax-favorable account. You can leave the money in there. Perhaps you let it grow. If you're young, healthy, you don't have those expenses, you're able to let that money sit, perhaps invest it and grow it. Then later in life, you're able to pull it. And it's not just the money you contributed then, it's the money plus what you've earned. And that helps, again, if one of those major concerns is health care or those out-of-pocket needs or the solvency of government sometimes, to know that you have your own money sitting there to go pay a doctor, that's a pretty strong feeling. And that's why we love HSAs and we talk about them quite often.
Right, because they grow tax-deferred. Now, if you use them for other purposes, then you do have to pay taxes on the gain. So be aware of that. But I still have my HSA, Tony. I think I've got $1,000 left in it, but still using it.
Wonderful.
It was a great IRA at the time for me. So the point of this is to recognize that as things are changing, tax laws change, your circumstances change, and the HSA is one of the things that changed pretty dramatically from previous law. So how can I use that tool to help me accomplish whatever my goal is? And so we always look at things as tools. An IRA is a tool. A 401k is a tool. HSA is a tool, etc. So you want to be able to use these tools in all kinds of ways. You just don't get locked in. Well, it's an HSA. That's health insurance. Gee, I'm already having health. You get locked. And so you've got to step back, 30,000-foot view, and get a feeling of that. And speaking of taxes, as you're growing and now you're moving along somewhere from your first job into your second job, you might have noticed that even with the new tax law and the doubling of the standard exemption, taxes become due. Have you ever paid attention to that, Tony?
I have. I sure have, John.
Yeah, most people really have, and that can be a burden. And so one of the things you need to do to be efficient in your taxes is they kind of know what the laws are. So I actually encourage people to do their own tax returns when they're young or in the middle here. When you're not really paying a lot of taxes, there are a lot of computer programs you can use today that make it very, very simple. But the reason I want them to do the taxes is not do the numbers, but so they become familiar with deductions, tools, whatever is out there and is available. And to do that well, the first thing you have to do is be organized. And most people financially are not organized at all. It's so amazing when a person comes to us and we ask for the things we ask for, which is everything, they have a hard time finding it.
Right, right. And it's not with ill intentions either. I mean, we know it. People want to do well for themselves, for their families. But when you've got accounts in all these different places, you've accumulated just kind of inherited things maybe over the years, accounts and maybe getting married, consolidated, all these things, old jobs. They're out there, and you're still wanting to go to work, enjoy the family, do things on the weekend. So to think about, I need to consolidate and go through all this paper, perhaps, is daunting.
Yes.
And like you said, we have people come in, and it can be a process at the beginning. I've seen it where it takes maybe a year to get started because there's just so many different places, and depending on what you have going on in your life, you may not be able to tend to it all at once.
Exactly. And what's always fun is when we find something really unusual, so to speak, like, you know, your previous wife is still beneficiary of your life insurance policy.
Oh, I remember.
I can't wait for that conversation when you explain your current wife, what's going on type of a thing. So those little details are for that matter, all of your instruments, your 401k beneficiary, your IRA beneficiary, et cetera, life insurance, et cetera. All those things are really, really important. We find sometimes the ownership of even things like a car, you know, who owns the car? And that can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes.
Right, a business from 10 years ago, perhaps, and you can't go get it retitled until you've closed, all these sorts of things. But it's one little piece that just seems to be hanging. And sometimes we just let it go.
Yep.
We live life, we do what we're going to do, and it's only when those curveballs come, we're disabled or something. It may be temporary, but whatever it is, that emergency pops up, and because we didn't have all the tools or have it all organized, now you're in trouble.
You are in trouble, and there's been all kinds of examples we've seen over the years. My favorite one is the client who owned Nextel. Remember there was a company called Nextel?
And they remember the noise.
You remember? I love the speaker part of it. It was kind of cool. And this guy had bought Nextel when it first came out. Pretty wise. And he bought the shares, and he had the shares with a brokerage house. So he becomes a client. I don't know. It's 10 years later or so. And I say, well, I need to see the statement with that shows that you own the stock and so forth. Well, okay, let me get it. Literally months go by, and he can't find a statement. I said, well, who's the broker? He says, well, I don't know. And he finally found out who his current broker was.
Okay.
Because you see, what happened is when he bought the stock, it was with a brokerage firm who then either went out of business or sold or merged or whatever the case may be to another brokerage firm. And a few years after that, guess what? That firm either merged or closed or whatever the case may be, and it went to a third brokerage firm. So we did track it down. We had to do it. It was a big deal. It took a couple of years to track this thing down. We had to look up the number that identifies
the CUSIPs.
The CUSIPs, yes, exactly right. And what we found was one of the brokers in the meantime had margined the stock.
That's when borrowing against it, right?
Yeah, right, and he never gave the broker any permission, but that broker is long gone, and so was the stock.
Oh.
So we need to be tracking, and that's why savings accounts, look in the paper and look up lost funds. There are things that are out there that you may not even be aware of. So pay attention, because we want you to manage to be wealthy. And we'll be back to you after a break on 610 WTVN.
We're talking all your money questions live. It's financial planning. It's investments. It's managing to be wealthy. With your host, America's father of fee-only financial planning, SIFA's Financial Planner of the Year, and a nationally recognized source for financial planning advice, John Sestina.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. I'm John Sestina, and with me tonight, Tony Payne, Certified Financial Planner. Well, Tony, we're marching down the road of managing to be wealthy. We're trying to give some folks some insights as to what they need to do to overcome all the anxieties that the insurance company found 2 years ago that was driving people nuts. And so we're giving you some clues and hopefully some shortcuts and so you can relieve yourself of the anxiety and, more importantly, manage to be wealthy, because we want you to accomplish what it is you want to accomplish. So we started to touch a little bit on taxes, because now you're growing. And taxes are going to become a big part of your family, whether you like it or not. I always admire people who tell me, well, I didn't pay any taxes. In fact, I got money back.
Right. You admire, yeah.
Right, so we need to go back. We need to go back to where everyone has to pay estimated taxes. So where everyone has to file the taxes at the end and write a nice big fat check at the end of the year so they realize what the tax burden is all like. But, you know, so many things are changing. This electronic technology mode that we're in is actually a detriment as far as I'm concerned, because people don't even get paychecks anymore. Things are deposited directly into their account. So where do they look on a monthly, weekly, biweekly basis to see how much they made and how much was taken away from them? We often find, when looking at the person's pay stubs, if we can get them, we find all kinds of little interesting things that they're paying for insurance they didn't want, or programs they didn't want, or all that sort of thing.
Right.
So that's a little bit of a burden. So you still need to pay attention, still need to feel the pressure of the taxes. So when we said you were going to gather your stuff together so that you could be knowledgeable as to your affairs. Did you make any interest on your savings accounts? Do you have a stock market account? For example, if you see that you have a brokerage account and you haven't taken advantage of an IRA account, does the bell go off?
Right.
Because the IRA gives you some tax leverage, whereas the brokerage account does not. So many people make money, pay full taxes, and then want to invest it. That's not financial planning. That's financial suicide. So we don't want you to do that. You need to plan it before it hits the tax bar, and so you can get to where you want to go on a more efficient basis. So you got all your stuff together. You're looking at it, It's helping you understand who you are. You're going to find some things you wish you didn't have anymore. You'll get rid of some things you need, you'll get, and therefore you will progress. But the other thing is when you file your taxes, and again, if you're going to do it, file early, as early as you get. If you're going to get a refund, file it immediately. Don't wait. One of the reasons is you get your money, okay? But more than that, this is
a way.
You
like that reason.
You like that money?
Yeah.
I do too. I like getting that cash, but I never get any back, Tony. They always want me to send more. So that's one reason. But the other reason is you want to thwart identity thieves. In today's marketplace, what we find is there are people somehow who get your social number, et cetera, and they file your tax return before you do. They get the refund and you don't. And then it's quite a nightmare to get that or get it resolved. So do you want the crooks to have the refund or do you want to have the refund? So also be aware of if you look at your pay statement, and please do, then you want to know what your withholdings are, especially today with the new tax laws. And there's a form called W-4 that you complete to identify how much you want to have withheld from your taxes. Okay? Taxes are far more complicated than I just went through, but do indeed get involved. So now you're moving through your life. Maybe you're in your 40s and you're beginning to say, okay, what am I going to do? Well, now you may have bought a house and you bought it before you could afford it and you paid more for everything that was attended to it than you should have. And you bought a new lawnmower, you know, one of those easy turns.
Yeah.
So because that was more efficient and
you
could watch
China.
It. You could watch it in the garage. You know, that would be very helpful while the lawn boy cuts all your grass and does the landscaping and stuff. There's that cute little commercial about this couple living in a house or apartment or something, and they get a leak in their roof. And the husband says, oh, it's just a pipe burst. I can fix that.
Right.
And the wife says, no, because today's men aren't quite the handy men that the previous generations were. So when you buy all that stuff, you want to be sure you're really going to use it.
Right. Otherwise, be prepared to pay that person to come at 10 o'clock at night, midnight, 2 a.m.
If you can get them.
Yeah, if you can get them, you're right. But we know this. I mean, there you go. Guaranteed a couple hundred bucks usually just because, hey, you own it.
Just for the phone call. So if you have something, you know, be prepared to pay for it. So we're not against home ownership, not against having the nicest car you can ever dream of, but I am against buying something you cannot afford. And so a house is like a car or like a new suit or anything else. When you look at it, go buy it. If you don't have the cash to pay for it, you can't afford it. Now, usually people drop dead when I tell them that kind of thing. You know, that what is that? Drop the mic. Boom.
Right?
There it goes.
Right. Yeah, there
drop
go.
The mic. But that's the truth.
When you say that, if you don't have the cash to pay for it, you mean in their wallet or in their checking account or just overall liquidity?
Overall, okay. In their brokerage accounts and so on and so forth.
Okay.
You're safe. In other words, part of managing to be wealthy is saving in advance. I used to do this illustration with a refrigerator. Let's say you bought a new refrigerator. Well, almost everyone knows how long that refrigerator is going to last, right?
Right.
So let's say it's 10 years. You know in 10 years you're going to have to replace that sucker. Now, by the way, this is what professionals do who build apartment buildings and so forth. They amortize the replacement of various equipment. So you look at that refrigerator and you see you're going to need it in 10 years. Well, there's inflation. So in 10 years, it's not going to cost, say, $1,000, but it's going to cost maybe $1,200. Who knows? So it's going to cost about $1,200. So what you do now is you begin to save for the $1,200. So when the time comes for that refrigerator to be bought, you write a check for it. Because what most people do is they buy it on a credit card. Special deal, you know, get zero interest for 14
seconds.
All
these holiday sales
we're seeing. You got it. And so now they end up paying, instead of $1,200, they pay $1,400 because of all the interest, et cetera. Well, the same is true of the house. When you go to buy the house, the same thing is true. If you can't pay cash for it, you're going to get a mortgage that's going to be like an anchor around your neck. I mean, think about it. If you have a mortgage, and when times were bad a few years ago and people could get jobs in other states, they couldn't leave because they were locked down by their houses. They couldn't sell the houses. They were underwater, was the new phrase that came available, and they couldn't move. So they were trapped. So when you have debt, think of it like that. Debt traps you. So you want to be able to be in a position that you could pay cash. Didn't say you should pay cash, but you should be able to. You should have the cash to pay for it. and you will evaluate whether you do a car or a house or whatever. So if you're talking about a car, you say, should I pay cash? Should I lease it? Should I finance it? So those are the same analyses you're going to do for the house when you're going to go buy it. So make sure you evaluate all of that, because now you're going to buy this house and you're going to have the operating expenses. And then all of a sudden, most likely, those little...
All the things that fill the house.
All those things that fill the house.
Oh, pets?
Well, forget the pets.
Children, too.
I'm more concerned about the little ones who grew up and want to go to college for free.
Oh, those. Oh, not even feed them. They want college, too?
Oh, no, no. I mean, what's it cost to rear a child to 18 years old?
Including or not including college, it runs around $200,000
to $500,000.
$200,000 to
$500,000. So that's another cost that's going to come about. So, again, prepare in advance. Don't withhold. Don't guesstimate as to what it's going to be. Don't wake up at 45 and say, oh, my Lord, my kid goes to school next year and I don't have enough money. How am I going to afford paying for the kid to go to college? So you want to plan in advance. You want to manage to be wealthy. It takes some thought. It takes some organization, and you will feel better, and you will make the next report they do about stressing out over money be a much more positive result than the last one we saw. Well, Tony, it looks like we're out of time, so I guess we're going to have to conclude here. Hopefully, some folks have picked up some tips. In the meantime, thank you for listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.